Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome into the McKinney-Corlin Review. That's what we're calling all of our daily editorials now. 9:13, 9:15, I guess I should say, on a Tuesday morning, I had another what Jim thinks is a terrorist attack in New York City. I thought it was just some guy maybe who smoked too much pot or whatever, put on a gas mask and came up from the Bronx and killed a whole bunch of people. Jim thinks there is a tie-in here between a terrorist group. Jimmy, why do you say that?
Well, I'm not sure which terrorist group would be involved in it. There's the potential for ISIS. There's a potential for Al-Qaeda. There's a potential for BLM.
Yeah.
There's a potential for the Democratic Party. You know, there's a potential for a lot of different people on this. What I think has happened is somebody certainly wants to create fear and panic. Interesting, and this is absolutely, hopefully not related at all, but yesterday Joe Biden's comments on gun control, banning ghost guns, and making a recommendation for a new ATF director after the last one was pushed out because of such poor policies.
Mm-hmm.
That's certainly going to be part of his political angle, as he's used every one of these major incidents to try to take Second Amendment rights away. So I think the big takeaway here is people in New York are going to continue to be incredibly scared of whatever's going on because of the violence and the crime. Whether this was a coordinated effort or an individual lone wolf effort will be hard to say at this point, but there's no question that this was used to terrorize the population and certainly scare people away from public transportation and undermine confidence and faith in the city's ability and the governor's or as well as the mayor's ability to defend and protect individuals from this type of action.
Well, it's such a major task to try and protect anybody in a city of that size. All it takes is one kook, as happened yesterday, and you've got a whole bunch of dead people and you've got just a whole bunch of fear and loathing, et cetera, et cetera. Jim,
I just want to say that the majority of these mass shootings from terror actions, San Bernardino in Florida, they are actually people that were on the federal government and the FBI's radar, and they did not take proper actions to either review or to track these individuals. And of course, nobody really wants, I certainly don't want the FBI to be tracking everybody in this country. But at the same time, when someone has been brought forward as a threat, similar to the guy in Sacramento that killed six people last week, he was released from prison in spite of the district attorney actually asking the parole board not to do it because they knew he was a violent criminal. When the government fails like that, that's a pretty sad statement when, yes, there are individuals. Typically, someone just doesn't break randomly out of the blue and do this. There's a pattern of violence or some tracking that's going along with it. And that's where what our law enforcement should be doing, as opposed to tracking innocent people or protesters on the January 6th riot, that type of thing.
Jimmy, let's flip over to local politics in New York. Tell us about the situation with the the appointed person basically is now in jail.
Yeah, so Kathy Hochul, who took over the governorship of New York after the leftist attack on Andrew Cuomo, and of course, Cuomo didn't get taken out of power because of his failures to protect literally thousands of retirees that were forced into homes with COVID that died. He was forced out because of accusations of sexual abuse.
Right.
So Kathy Hochul, he gets booted out. Kathy Hochul is lieutenant governor, gets put in as governor, so not elected. And she appoints Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin. Brian Benjamin has been arrested for charges of bribery, wire fraud, and falsification of records in his campaign. So this is, you know, once again, undermining any confidence in any of New York's leadership and governance. Yeah,
well, what we have right now is we have an incredibly, incredibly convoluted political situation in the U.S. You know, I'd like to break in, obviously, and talk a little bit about the 24 election, but I think it's a waste of time. All we can do at this moment in time, really, is continue to bring out the mistakes that the president, that the executive office is making. My personal opinion, real quick, and I don't want to dwell on this necessarily, but I don't think that the executive office of the United States of America has any respect any place in the world anymore.
No, I don't think so. Even probably within their, even the federal government and people around are probably getting tired of it. And you're seeing that with a lot of people that are stepping away from both the Harris regime and of course, you know, now trying to protect Biden with everything they possibly can do. But the reality with inflation, the reality with the border, the reality with Afghanistan, the reality with Ukraine and the failures of preparation, you just can't keep hiding this stuff. They can't call Putin inflation when it was, you know, rising before this anything happened there. No. You can't. And of course, the inflation numbers that came out today were absolutely massive. Yep. 8.4% year over year.
Yep.
Which is actually a year over year 2.7% drop in personal income. And of course, in the month, at a monthly level, that's actually a drop of 3.6% of personal income inflation, so high. And we haven't even seen the highest rate. It's going to continue to climb.
That was almost the exact number that was predicted yesterday, Monday night, Monday evening on the West Coast. Anyway, they predicted it was going to come in at 8.5, and it was 8.4.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's expectations because obviously it's pretty clear when you see fuel prices rising so rapidly. And that's basically because of bad policy, you know, shutting down, holding permits back from energy producers by threatening energy producers with legal action, by really pushing. And of course, these global corporations, you know, you push this green agenda, the global corporations are beholden to the authorities. When the Europeans are going nuts, when the when the U.S. producers are being threatened, it's like a pretty confusing world out there for long-term business.
Oh, and they make incredible.
It just makes it absolutely makes no sense. Here's a great one. So apparently, the federal government is fining a wind turbine company in multiple states over $8 million for the death of bald and golden eagles because they're on the protected list. Yeah. As we're trying to push towards more wind power, now the federal government's attacking them for killing eagles that fly into the wind turbines. How do you stop that? The insanity is just going
The insanity is crazy. I got to tell you one thing that I think is totally insane and is totally a slap in the face of Biden and the executive office. I was watching a documentary yesterday of Boris in the Ukraine. Boris is walking the streets of Ukraine along with Zelensky. He is a world leader who went there because he wanted to try and make a difference. Joe Biden was asked why he wasn't there, and his answer was, "They won't let me come."
Yeah, pretty embarrassing.
He's not incredibly embarrassing. Incredibly.
Hey, you know, there were a couple of good comments and a couple of good things that, you know, popped onto the blog this morning, and you know, some of these the highlights. I think one of the great video links is the one that is with McIsaac's. Is it John?
Yeah.
Paul McIsaac's, whatever, the guy that turned in the Biden laptop, and the reality of our government really attacking and protecting corrupt individuals at the top is just becoming so clear. And you just, you know, but at the same time, the wool, the facade is coming off. As I said before, You know, thank God for Joe Biden, because it's so corrupt and it's so obvious. People are starting to just say, what the heck is going on? And even people like Al Sharpton on MSNBC is telling the Democratic Party, hey, your woke liberal politics, you're alienating black community, you're alienating the Hispanic and Asian communities. You're going to get crushed. And of course, the way that they can avoid that is through corruption. And when you look at the video, so Liz Harrington is spokesperson for Donald Trump, and Charlie Kirk, who's a a conservative guy that started a lot of different programs. Charlie Kirk show had a couple of people on the woman that started True the Vote.
Yep.
And Catherine Engelbright and Greg Phillips. And they go through the video evidence and the data that shows the corruption in the 2020 election.
Yep.
And I would recommend everyone should look at those interviews on Charlie Cook's show with Catherine Engelbright and Greg Phillips, because it details with video evidence of massive voter fraud and mules carrying ballots to voter boxes around the key elements, and talks through the money. And of course, this is a prelude to the 2000 Mule video, movie that will be coming out with Dinesh D'Souza and True the Vote, that's somewhat, I think, funded by Citizens United. But basically, if we don't get a hold of this corruption, and we've already fallen into the third world category from my perspective right now with the leadership we've got, because you're right, nobody trusts this guy that's in charge right now, apparently in charge. But if we don't get a hold of that, then we are really, really going to fall into just a disastrous future. We'll look like Venezuela. We'll look like former Soviet states. And that eventually will create a serious pushback. There's not enough law enforcement for the Biden administration to stop the people in America from pushing back on these bad, bad policies.
Now, Jimmy, let me ask you this. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but how do you think that would actually play out? What would the events be? Give us an example.
Well, okay, so the way I see it is, as people are beginning to wake up with the COVID lockdowns and realize that COVID, the entire thing, the scenario has been really, really broadly mishandled, but not just mishandled, but used politically.
Right.
That creates a tremendous amount of frustration, because a lot of people really suffered and hurt. And of course, a lot of people died from bad policy.
Right.
That's one level. So people are beginning to see that. They look at Joe Biden as in this administration and their efforts to absolutely push these policies on, you know, gender politics, transgender training for children in school, pushing back on this so-called don't say gay bill. You know, people are beginning to say this is ridiculous. Now, you watch the international community and the U.S. reputation continue to diminish. What typically happens with an authoritarian or someone who thinks they can control the outcomes is they crush harder through law enforcement and authoritarian means to silence people. What I can see happening is the Biden administration foolishly thinking that they can put more restrictions on people from some other fraudulent health issue, or continue down this road where you open the borders and allow all these people to come in and the violence to tear people apart.
Right.
Eventually, local people are going to take responsibility to protect their own interests. We saw this in the riots in 2020. In numerous cities around the country, as violence would spread, say, outside of Seattle, the surrounding areas and towns, people got together, local people, in conjunction with law enforcement, local law enforcement, put on armored vests, got, you know, AR-15s, even right outside of our community in Linden and down in Washington State, down in Skagit County, in Snohomish County, and
well,
they said, no way, it's not going to happen.
The most
not
famous
coming into
one,
my neighborhood.
The most famous situation was in a very wealthy community about an hour and a half south of here called Kirkland.
Yeah. And so people stood up. And that's exactly what I could see happening. And now the Trump administration did not put the National Guard in to stop these riots. I think that was probably a mistake because they could have quelled them pretty easy until Kenosha, when it got awful. They finally asked for it, but they allowed local Democratic leaders to make those decisions on their cities one way or the other. Now, what you'll see with a Biden regime and these authoritarians, they'll use those same powers much more authoritarianly than the Trump administration did, because they look at the world as from a federal control system. When they start doing that, I think they're going to get into a lot of trouble. And I think that is when potentially things can break down. I certainly do not want to see it. I'm not encouraging it. I definitely would want people to use the ballot box if possible. But bottom line is there has to be a huge effort to correct the mistakes of the 2020 and previous elections.
Right, right.
From the fraud.
Right, no, I agree.
To avoid this type of a breakdown.
I agree 100%, Jim. I appreciate your comments this morning. I could not agree more. The only thing I could say is our society is very, very definitely not static right now in terms of events. It's very, very dynamic. We could have something break this afternoon, and if it does, Jim, let's do another one, okay?
All right. Talk to you later.
Always a pleasure, Jim. God bless.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.